You know, the Lord is still in the miracle-working business. She said yes. Amen. Don't give me tickled. That is great. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible tonight and turn to the little, what Dr. Curtis Hudson called the vestibule to the book of Revelation. The little book of Jude tonight, the little book of Jude. I'm pulling out an old one tonight because this is the one the Lord has laid on my heart. It'd be hard for us to forget as American citizens the September the 11th terrorist attacks. And right after those attacks, not long after that, I put together a message out of Jude and verse number 23. I preached this message here in 2002, 10 years ago. I'm getting old. Micah, you're getting old too. I see him sitting back here going like this. You know what I mean? That's good. I'm preaching in preparation tonight for our big day coming up. No doubt the Lord has a will. God wants us to do something big for Him. But yet going back to this morning, the only way it'll get accomplished is through His power. And tonight I want to give you a thought that the Lord gave me right after the terrorist attacks in 2011. And I want to give it again tonight. Jude verse 23 says this, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." Notice the phrase, pulling them out of the fire. And tonight I preach to you on this subject, being a spiritual firefighter. Being a spiritual firefighter. Let's pray together. We share this thought with you. Father, help us, I pray, as we even think back to many years ago now when our nation was struck with that awful act of terrorism. Challenge us even this day, this service from that time by thinking about these firefighters. May the will of God be done in preparation, I pray, for the week that lies ahead. Please forgive my sins. Help me to be clean in Jesus' name. Amen. On September the 11th, 2001, our nation was struck with an awful act of terrorism. When the attack happened, many, if you remember this, some of you don't remember it because you're young and so on, but many of us who can remember these things, you can remember that there were many who were running away and trying to get out of the buildings, specifically the World Trade Centers, other places as well, but dwelling really in New York City. However, at the same time that many were trying to run and get out, there were others who were running into the scene of the attack. There were others who were known as firefighters. That as the buildings were struck and fire was coming out, and by the way, I'm not trying to bring up these memories, but may the Lord use this to challenge our heart. That as these people were fleeing for their life, others were risking their life and going into the burning buildings. Now, these firefighters, specifically right after the attacks, were lifted up as heroes. And may I say they should have been. God bless them. They're lifted up because of the way they faithfully did their job. The way that they worked on that day caused the world to look at firefighters in a different way. Matter of fact, going back to that day, if you remember after that, when you'd see a firefighter, your heart kind of skipped a beat, didn't it? But just because of the way they worked, so heroically worked to get people out of the burning flames. And how they worked on September the 11th and beyond, get this, is how God's children should work today and beyond. I'm talking about how they worked to get people out of the rubble of a crumbling building. Is how we as God's people should work to keep people out of the burning flames of hell. How they worked as physical firefighters is how we ought to work this week and beyond as spiritual firefighters. And I ask the question, how did they work? Now don't let this disturb you. But there's 14 things that summarize their work. Let me take a big gulp, take a big deep breath, and I'm going to try to say it as quickly as I can. I'm kidding. How did these firefighters work? Unusual message, I know, because we're typically preaching through books. This is what we call a topical message. We're taking a topic here, firefighting, the flames of hell, and we're taking something physical and relating it to something spiritual. Just painting a picture. How did they work, number one? They work day and night. They work day and night. If you remember going back to that time, many of them went without sleep. Many of them went without food, went without comfort for hours. In other words, while many of us were sleeping, they were still working. And in the same way, Acts 5:42 says, and daily in the temple, and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts 20:31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Here's the point I'm trying to get across. How faithful are you? And how faithful am I when it comes to the area of soul winning? Is soul winning, is telling people about the Lord the number one priority in our life? How urgent are you in keeping people out of hell? How hard are you working to fight the fires of hell? May I say this to you, that there's people on fire everywhere we go. What I mean by that is that they're headed for the lake of burning fire. They are already suffering under the wrathful hand of God, and they are suffering condemnation, and their future is not bright. It is dark. They are going to burn forever in hell. This is what I'm talking about, being a spiritual firefighter. I'm talking about taking the water of God's word and putting some fires out around you. I'm talking about telling people about the Lord and telling them that they don't have to burn forever, but they can live with God forever. These firefighters, being a spiritual firefighter, just like those firefighters in New York City and also in the Pentagon and other places, I know that, but specifically in New York City, they work day and night. And number two, they removed obstacles. They removed obstacles. What I mean by that is this: there was a tremendous amount of debris and there was a tremendous amount of wreckage standing between them and those who were dying underneath the rubble. Here's what I'm saying to you. If the firefighters were going to reach anybody, they had to get some things out of the way. They couldn't just stand up like this and stand up on top of that rubble and say, okay, if you're there, raise your hand and we'll come get you. It wasn't that way. These folks were buried alive. They needed somebody to take that obstacle and push it out of the way so that they could reach them before they ran out of breath. And what I'm saying to you here is for us to reach a lost and dying world, the devil puts obstacles in our way all the time. For instance, the one thing standing between Israel and victory back in 1 Samuel chapter 17 was one giant by the name of Goliath. And I'm telling you that every one of us have giants in our lives that tries to keep us from being the firefighter God wants us to be. It might be the obstacle of fear. I'm afraid to knock on doors, Jody. I'm just afraid to do it. I'm afraid somebody might shoot me. I'm afraid somebody might spit in my face. I'm afraid. Listen to me, friends. It's time we be more afraid of disobeying God. It's time we're more afraid and fear God more than we fear man. See, we have a command of God. And the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience. That's the only alternative. Somebody says, we hear this all the time, all the time. Well, as nice as I can say this, if you don't like it, vote me out. Send me somewhere else. Because God willing, I believe I have my hand on the heartbeat of God, friends. I believe I have my hand on His heartbeat. And I believe in His heartbeats it says soul winning, world evangelism. People need me. People need Jesus. And He says to His church, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But in order to do that, there are obstacles. It might be jealousy. It might be bitterness. It might be coldness. It might be busyness. It might be anger, rebellion, pride. I don't know what it is. But whatever obstacle is in your way, by the way, everybody has obstacles. My stuttering, an obstacle. My fear, an obstacle. Can I just open my heart to you and just be down just get down on the level ground with you folks? Listen to me, please. I know I'm the pastor. I understand that. I understand that. But I'm a human being just like you. I'm no better than you are. The devil tries to play mind games with me just like he does with you. You might as well not go. They're not going to listen. Might as well not invite them. They're not going to come. Oh, they said they'll come. I'll believe it when I see it. Now, maybe you've never had these thoughts go through your mind. I'm not going to go. Good night. The one door I knock on is going to be the one who blows my head off with a shotgun. I know how the devil works. I know how he works. You know what those are? Those are obstacles. And we need to look beyond the obstacle and say there's somebody who's suffocating to death under that obstacle. They removed obstacles. Whatever obstacle is in your way, get it out of the way. Let me tell you why. There's souls that depend on it. That's why. Number three, they work together. They work together. What I'm talking about is this. They were a team. If you remember how they worked, there was no I on that team. They were working as a team. They had a common goal. You know what the common goal was? If there's anybody alive, let's find them. If there's anybody there, let's get them. That was the goal. And they worked together for it. The greatest Bible illustration of this that I know of is Mark chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. I almost preached on this, but I've already preached on it when I'm preaching through Matthew. I almost went back and preached that same message again. But it's a story where the man was sick of the palsy. Remember the story? The word palsy is a small word that stands for paralysis. He was paralyzed. He couldn't move. And this is the story where it says he was born. He was carried a four. You remember the story. And they went to the house where Jesus was, but the crowd was so thronging him that they couldn't get to him. So they climbed up on the roof, and they broke up the roof and lowered him down. And make a long story short, Jesus did a great miracle that day. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, not his faith, it was his too, but it was their faith. When he saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And then remember the Pharisees, who can forgive sins but God only? And they're right, only God can, but Jesus is God. And he said, "Oh, just in case you think I can't do it, get up and carry your bed." He got up and took his bed back home. Here's the point that God showed me in that. There were four of them that carried that man to the Lord Jesus. I've said this before, but this is an accurate picture of what the church is about. If you can see this man laying out right here on a stretcher with four corners, four took him to the Lord. So each man had a corner. Each one of them had a corner. So they all had to pick up their load. They all need to pick up their end. If three of them picked it up, then at least it was putting more stress on all three. Everybody needed to carry their load. But along with that, they all four had to work together to get him to Jesus. In other words, if all four picked it up and two of them wanted to go that way, but two of them wanted to go that way, that man would have never made it to Jesus. Because they wanted to go that way, they wanted to go that way, and that man's just constantly sitting here doing this the whole time. They had to go the same direction. They had to carry their load and go in the same direction, working together for a common goal. And that goal is this man needs Jesus. Here's what I'm saying. What would happen if this church this week has no individual agendas? What would happen this week if every bus captain and every bus driver and every Sunday school teacher and every Sunday school secretary and every Sunday school group captain and every member of this church and every deacon of this church and every staff member of this church and every leader in this church and every nursery worker in this church and every member of this church and every guest in this church, if they come together and say, "I don't care who in the world knows my name, but I will come together and I will carry my load. I will knock my doors. I will carry my load. And I will go the same direction." There is no telling what will happen. No telling. They worked together. Together. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is not our church. It's God's church. And he's put a pastor here who he is taking to school. I feel like I'm sitting in a one-seat classroom. And God has his chalk out, and he has his discipline stick out too. And he's saying, perk up, boy, let me teach you something about the ministry. Number one, you don't know what you're doing. Amen. Number two, I do. Number three, let me do it. Come together. I am calling on this church, not for me, not even for the church, but for the glory of God. Come together this week and let's go forward for the glory of God. Knock on those doors, carry your load, pick up your corner, and go the same direction to get people to Jesus Christ. Number four, I cannot get bogged down and we'll never get through. Number four, they saw the need. They saw the need. John 4:35, say not ye, there yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Friends, listen, it did not take much for you to see the need after September the 11th. It didn't take much. You know all you had to do? Open your eyes. You know what you need to do to see the physical need? Open your eyes. Back in 1975, many years ago, so which means this number has astronomically, I'm sure, gone much higher. But in 1975, there were 300,000 babies being born every day that would grow up and never one time hear a clear presentation of the gospel. 1975, 300,000 babies every day that would grow up and never hear that Jesus died for them. You know where some of those people are? In the Tri-Cities. You say, you're crazy, we got a church on every corner. When's the last time a Baptist church knocked on your door? It's a shame that the Jehovah Witnesses knock on our doors. You might have had a Mormon and a Jehovah Witness come. When's the last time you had a Bible-believing, blood-washed Christian knock on your door? I'm telling you the truth here, friends. You know what I want to do here at this church? I want to change that. I want to get it to the point, God helping us, I want to get it to the point where they say, good night, here comes those Buffalo Ridge people again. Wouldn't that be great? I'm telling you, God's in that. They saw the need. Open your eyes. Every breath you take, 10 people went to hell. Every breath you take, 10 people went to hell. And as I've said before, half the world's never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. And yet we sit here. I'm guilty. We sit here, pop our potato chips, drink our drinks, get upset because a ball team lost, and people are dying right down the street who don't even know Jesus even died for them. They saw the need. Number five, they didn't look over any. They didn't look over any. They didn't skip anybody, in other words. They didn't care who it was they found. They're just glad they found somebody. Amen or not, friends. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can you imagine those firefighters whenever they're digging through the rubble? They think they hear something and good night they find somebody who's breathing. Can you imagine them going down there and wiping off the face and saying, well, you're not who I look for. Hope you can get the rest of the way out. God bless you. No. As soon as they uncovered somebody breathing, they didn't care who they were. They're just glad they found somebody with life in them, so they grabbed them out. I'm saying this, be soul conscious. That's what I'm talking about. Don't go over 100 looking for one. You go to a door. Somebody says, whoever that name is, they don't live here. What are you going to do? Well, I tried. They've moved. Wait a minute. A soul conscious person says, wait a minute. Now you don't look at them and say, well, God has an appointment for you now, buddy. But in your mind, consciously, you think to yourself, maybe that person's not here, but God had this person answer the door. And you don't look over that person because he wasn't the person that you was looking for, you see. You go to the gas station, you go to the grocery store, everywhere you go, people are everywhere. Let's not look over them. Go after them. They wanted to get them out. So don't look over people. Number six. By the way, this is one of those messages. I understand you're not going to go home and say, man, boy, wasn't point two good. You're not going to remember all of it. I know that, but I'm trusting something hits you here. Number six, they knew lives depended on their efforts. They knew lives depended on their efforts. What I mean by that is they didn't pass the buck. They didn't say, well, this one's too big, this one's for the chief. They didn't say, this one's, I'm not qualified. No, what I mean is they took it personally. They knew that if they did not get involved, somebody who could have been reached may not be reached. What I'm saying to you is this, everybody has the key to somebody's heart. There is somebody in this world that God wants you to tell about Jesus. And if you don't get involved, they may never hear the gospel. And if they never hear the gospel, are you listening to me? Their blood will be on our hands. That's Bible teaching. They knew lives depended on their efforts. Now, I'm not talking about that salvation depends on us. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying God has made it where the delivery of the message is our responsibility. It's His responsibility to save them. He's the only one that can save. But it's our privilege to tell them the gospel. Number seven, they went into a dirty place to reach them. They went into a dirty place to reach them. May I say that when these attacks took place, it was no Holiday Inn that they were going into? It was a dirty place. They knew they wouldn't come out smelling like a bed of roses. Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Here's what I'm saying to you. Sometimes in order to reach somebody, you have to be willing to get dirty. You think about the mission field. You think about occasional homes that you visit. You think about some of those precious bus children and some of the conditions that they live in. Not all of them, just some of them. Can I say this to you? Where there's a place, dirty or clean, there's a soul for whom Jesus died in it. And sometimes we have to be willing to come out smelling like something that we'd rather not smell like, just to have the opportunity to tell them there's a God in heaven who loves you and died for you. Number eight, they knew time was running out and every moment counted. They knew time was running out and every moment counted. For instance, when those buildings crumbled, when they were first struck, and even before they crumbled, there was no time to waste. Either some or none would be saved back then, depending on how they used their time. John 9:4, Jesus said Himself, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. That's what Jesus said Himself. Let me ask you a question. How much time do you have left? Let me ask you another question. How much time do they have left? Let me give you something here. I know it's deep. But how much time do we have? Not as much as a minute ago. Not as much as a second ago. Not as much as a month ago, a week ago, a day ago. Every moment that takes place, somebody needs Jesus. Every second counts. How much time does your neighbor have? How much time does your family member have, your coworker, your friend? Somebody says, I just don't want to offend them. Are you listening to me? If hell is a reality to you, you wouldn't care if they never speak to you again. What I mean by that is this. If they respond by never speaking to you again, by giving them the gospel, you would not mind to pay that price if hell's really a reality. I'm not saying you go around and say, I don't care what people think of me. I don't care. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this. If hell is a reality, you will give them the gospel no matter how they respond. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Let me give you this story here, and we're going to keep going here. Tommy Sexton was in this pulpit several years ago, and he kept telling me, he said, Jody, there's a secret to the ministry. There's a secret to the ministry. And he was sending me off into a journey. He was like, he'd want me to dig it out. And I was like, a secret? What? You know? I kept trying to figure out what it is. And I'd call him and say, is it this? He'd say, that's good, but that's not it. That's good, but that's not it. And I believe it was the last time he preached here. I thought he preached on it. And I took him over to eat his barbecue before I drove him to the airport. And I said, you preached on it today, didn't you? He said, yes, I preached on it. And he said, here's what the secret to the ministry is. He said, how many people in your area will you look to God and say, God, if they don't get the gospel, not if they don't receive it, because I can't make them receive it. But he said, the secret is saying, God, if they don't get the gospel, blame me. Put their blood on my hands. You know what that calls you to do when you really make that commitment? You start thinking outside the box, friends. How can we get the gospel to these homes? God's laid something on my heart. You want me to tell you one thing He's laid on my heart? Put a gospel letter in every home in our area. Is that going to cost a lot of money? You better believe it, but I think it's worth it. Let me tell you something else He's put on my heart. He wants us to knock every door in our area. That's what that map's about out there. You say, how much time we have? I don't know, do you? But I know this. The more people that get involved, the quicker we get it done. You think God's in that? Ask Him. What'd He say about it? I'm telling you, I'm saying this, every moment counts. Time is not marching on, it's running out. They knew that. Number nine, they reached some. They reached some. Did they reach all? No. Did they reach most? No. But they reached some. I'm telling you that a majority perished, but some were saved. 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Some. The Word of God says that a majority of people will go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Straight and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that go in thereat. You're not going to reach them all. You're not even going to reach most of them. But God can use you to reach some. You've heard the story about the boy who was walking down the shore and all these starfish had washed up on the beach. You've heard the story, I'm sure. If you haven't, you'll hear it again. We're here for the first time, or you're here again. This man was watching this boy as he would occasionally grab a starfish and throw it in the ocean, grab it and throw it, and this man had all he could stand. He was just interested, and he walked up to this boy, and he said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm saving the starfish. But there are all kinds of them. And the man looked down and said, son, there's all kinds of them. Yeah, good night, you're not going to get them all. The boy calmly reached down and grabbed one, threw it in the ocean, looked up at that man and said, I made a difference in that one's life, didn't I? You're not going to get them all. But what a privilege for God to use you to make a difference in that one's life. That one's life. Number 10, time, money, and energy made no difference to them. They didn't care how much time it took. They didn't care how much money it took. They didn't care how much energy it took. They wanted to keep working until the very last one was pulled to safety. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time and how long has it been since you've sacrificed your time to knock on doors? When's the last time you sacrificed your money and your efforts to keep people out of hell? People are calling on us. And time, money, and energy should make no difference. Number 11, they had the necessary equipment. They had the necessary equipment. In other words, they had what they needed to get the job done. You ever heard this thought, or maybe you've thought this thought, I'm just not qualified. I don't know how to do it. Now, there's nothing wrong with sharpening the axe. Nothing wrong with that. If there's something wrong with that, then we wouldn't offer soul winning classes. Okay? There's nothing wrong with learning more techniques. But let me say this. If you're saved, you have everything you need. If you're saved, you have all the right equipment. Because the Word of God says in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Holy Spirit said in John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Listen, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside you, right? Amen. Amen. So you have the Holy Spirit and you have the Word of God. That's all you need. That's all you need. Somebody says, what do I tell people? Tell them what He did for you. That's what you tell them. Tell them your story. Tell them how you got saved. By the way, if you don't know how you got saved, you got problems. I don't know how I got saved. Sure, you know how you got saved. You trusted Christ. Tell them your story. They had the necessary equipment. Number 12, they had a plan and followed it. They had a plan and followed it. They knew what their job was and they did it. Matthew 28:19-20, go ye into all the world and preach the and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you all, even in the end of the world. Amen. In other words, they didn't have their own agenda. They followed orders. Jesus has given us orders. He's given us a plan. You know what it is? Go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. Everybody has a Jerusalem. You know what the church's Jerusalem is? The Tri-Cities. You know what your Jerusalem is? Your neighborhood, your workplace, young people, your school. Everybody has a Jerusalem. Start there. Start there. They had a plan to follow it. Number 13, some died in the process. Some died in the process. Some died trying to reach people. Now, let me ask you a question. How are those heroes remembered? With good thoughts or bad thoughts? Tremendous thoughts, isn't it? They died with tremendous respect. Let me ask you a question. If you died today, what would you be remembered for? If you died today, would somebody say, I'll tell you one thing, he or she loved souls. That's what they thought about. That's what they ate. That's what they slept. They went after people. One man on the Titanic, you know his name, John Harper. Be good to read his story. I need to do that. But I've heard about his story, how even though he was going down, as he was floating around on some of the debris from the Titanic, he was sharing his faith and talking to people about Jesus. A man was saved as a result of that. And I believe it was him who told the story that he heard John Harper, he began to sink, he was freezing to death, and he began to sink. And they heard him say, I'm going down, wait a minute, no, I'm going up. How's John Harper remembered? As a soul winner. Some died in the process. Number 14, here it is. They're recognized as heroes today. They are nationally and internationally known for what they did. Can I open up the windows of heaven for you just a moment? Daniel 12:3 says this, and they that be wise shall shine as the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever. You know who the stars are in heaven? We know the Lord is the one. We understand that. I'm not trying to take any glory from Him. But He says right here in this verse that if you turn many to righteousness, He's going to let you shine as the stars. Isn't that something? He's going to recognize you. That's amazing to me. And let me say this. What our nation was struck with on September the 11th was terrible. However, what our world has been struck with is far worse. It's called sin. In the terrorist attacks, thousands were affected. But everybody's been affected by sin. The terrorist attacks sent people to the grave. Sin sends people to hell. And just like the firefighters came to the rescue then, we need spiritual firefighters who will come to the rescue tonight. I brought with me two pictures. I'm going to pull out one of them. I know it's going to be hard for you to see this. If you'd like to see it, you can come up to me after the service and I'll be happy to show it to you. In the background where you see these white lines, that's a picture of the World Trade Center. What you may cannot see, maybe some of you up front can, but what you may cannot see right here where my finger is, there's a man who has just jumped. You remember the story how the buildings were on fire and some of them were jumping because they didn't want to burn to death. You know what I'm saying? They knew they wouldn't survive, and somebody's taking pictures of this. And I got my hands on this picture where this guy's just jumped, and there he is. He's straight down heading to his death. I want you to think about this gentleman right here. He's in a free fall. He's getting ready to die. The reason he jumped is because he didn't want the flame to get him. But I wonder what he woke up in when he hit. Now, he may be in heaven. I hope he is. I don't know. But chances are he jumped out of the flame and jumped right back into a worse one. What are we going to do for people like this? There are some who are falling towards the abyss of hell. They need somebody to tell them about Jesus. I share this story. I'm coming to a close. Remember the story how they say that when the terrorist attacks took place and the building had collapsed. Remember how they were telling the story how some of them who were buried alive, they didn't realize where they were at. I mean, they knew something had happened, but they had survived somehow and they had cell phones. Y'all remember this story? Some of them had cell phones. And they said that they were frantically just dialing numbers. They didn't even know whose number they were dialing. They were just dialing, just panicking. You know what I'm saying? Just panicking, pulled out their cell phone, began to dial number. They're under the rubble. They realize if somebody doesn't get me, I'm dead. Can you imagine receiving one of those calls? Can you imagine if they had frantically dialed your home? There's no telling what they said. And God took that thought and he penetrated my heart that spiritually speaking, my phone's ringing. Somebody's dialing my number and saying, you say you know what life's all about. You get up and preach about it every week of your life. You're pastoring that church. I'd like to know what that's about. Let me ask you a question. You hear your phone going off tonight. You're just going to sit back and ignore it? Or are you going to pick it up and say, I'll be right there? When we get to heaven, friends, listen to me. Let me help you. Let me help myself. Soul winning is the number one priority, whether it is in our life or not. And let me say this to you as well. God's speaking to me. I'm sitting in school again. Aren't you glad somebody answered the phone for you? Aren't you glad some firefighter came to you and told you about Jesus? Aren't you glad somebody gave you the gospel? Amen or not tonight, friends. How dare we say I'm not qualified? I don't know what I'm doing. By the way, when you say I don't know what I'm doing, God says, that's good. I like that. Because now he can work. Spiritual firefighter. Let's take our water of the Word of God
and let's put out some fires this week. Amen or not, friends? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. Help us to serve you. Help us to please you. Help us to glorify you. Speak to our hearts. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I ask you these questions. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. There are two types of people here tonight, those who are saved and those who are lost. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you do not know the Lord as your Savior and you've never trusted Him as your Lord and your Savior, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Men with men, ladies with ladies. Let us tell you how Jesus loves you so much He died for you. If you repent of your sin, receive Him. He'll save you tonight. Or maybe tonight you're a Christian and God's speaking to you saying, Jody, I want to be a firefighter, I really do. God is burdening my heart in this. Maybe you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. God is speaking to me in the area of firefighting. Be honest, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God is speaking to me in the area of firefighting. Fighting the fires of hell. If you raised your hand, just a moment, I'm going to extend an invitation. You come. Talk to God about it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, take the thought, use it in a great way. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As they play through, right now, leave your place and come. Right now, come and talk to God. How about it? What about this coming week? What about your Sunday school class? What about your bus route? What about these things? God, help us to see our people in the Tri-Cities in a burning house. It's burning down around them. God wants us to go into that house and pull them out. He wants us to go in and say, there's a way. And all you must do is come the way of the cross. Whatever it is. May the Lord help us with this. May God help us with this. I need to be a better firefighter. I dare say we all need to be. May the Lord help us with this. No doubt about it. Doubt about it. Amen. This is Lindsay Harbin over here. She has trusted Christ as her Savior a good while ago, correct? Been coming and visiting the church, and she feels the Lord wants her to become a member of this church. You have been baptized, correct? You've been saved and baptized. Wonderful. She'd like to join this church by statement. I'm happy about this. Praise the Lord. What's the pleasure of the church in this? Could we accept her by statement? Brother Potter, Brother Archer, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign, so carry. Folks, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you. And I want you to know as your pastor, I'm working too. Now let's work, let's shake the bushes this week. And just real briefly, and I do emphasize brief, if you're a Sunday school worker in any stretch of the imagination, if you teach, if you're a superintendent, if you're a group captain, if you're a secretary, if you work on the buses, any stretch of the imagination, bus driver, bus captain, bus secretary, if you're a deacon and your wife, if you are a staff member and your wife, I want you to stay behind just a moment. I promise you I will not keep you long, okay? If you'll move to the center section here when we're dismissed, if you'll come, I just want to just share a thought or so with you. We'll let you go. Father, we love you. Bless now, I pray. May the will of God be done, I beg of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, folks. God bless you. If you're in leadership in any way at all, we'll do that next week.